Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, it's WTIC. O.J. Simpson, what do you think, Mike, in Plainville?
I have 2 points. The first point is the final verdict may have saved hundreds of lives, because you know what would have happened if they found him guilty? They were ready to riot.
That could be. Are you saying that justifies it?
No. I'm just saying that...
Just observing.
A lot of lives people lived because of this verdict. I mean... Had he been found guilty, you know, that millions would have played the race card. And it would have hit the fan, in my opinion.
Yeah, could be. Likely, second, I would say.
Second point. Have you read up on the ShopRite employee that was sent home for her hair color?
Not recently. When it first happened, I read about it, but not lately. Something to stand out that you want me to check on?
Well, the whole thing stands out. It stinks. She runs to Daddy. Daddy complains to ShopRite, okay? And she makes a big deal about it, okay? And then Susan Weisowitz, 2 days ago, goes to ShopRite to stand with the people in support of this young woman. She knew what the rules and regulations are. You know, you don't have to work there. You can leave. You took the job under the understanding that you would fit the dress code. And she's not the only one. People try to slide through these rules, through the between the lines, if you will. They skirt the rules, and they make people feel like they're special.
And her, my recollection is it was clearly delineated, their policy on how you could wear your hair and that you couldn't have it colored. Isn't that what their rule was?
Yeah, well, they told her. They said, you know, you still have the job. Just go home and make some changes. Get rid of the color in your hair. I mean, rules are rules.
Well, they usually are, but not always. So I'm not sure about that, but we can talk more about it. 860-522-9842. Ian Stark in for Mark today.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, 860-522-9842. We've been talking about O.J. Simpson, the 32 years since the murder, and still unresolved, at least at this radio station, is who killed O.J.'s wife and Ron Goldman. Because it certainly wasn't O.J. Simpson, correct? 860-522-9842, rant line number. We've got rants coming up in an hour. 860-751-4698. Let's go to Dan next. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Todd. How's it going? It's Dan Neumeier, CT Politics TV.
Oh, that Dan. You know, it's funny. I saw the name and I thought, we have a curiously small number of Dans who call. There just aren't that many.
Oh.
So
I could be that one.
Well, you are that one.
How have you been?
Well, forget about the chit chat. What do you want to say? We're on the radio. We're doing a thing here. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, I was calling in on the OJ thing, and I didn't know if you had seen the post. It was supposedly, and I don't know if this is true or not, which it's kind of morbid, but there was like the last tweet of OJ Simpson that he supposedly tweeted was that he did it. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And it looks like it, you know, it's from his account, and whoever posted it said that the family had taken it down. And then I looked through all the comments and people were saying that it was fake and everything else. I have no idea about it.
Oh, that the tweet was, that the tweet was fake. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
That the tweet was fake. And I don't know.
OJ Simpson admits to dealing with some issues in last tweet before death. His death was announced by his family on that account, which already makes it a little suspicious.
I took a screenshot of it all. Mm-hmm. I can ship that over to you.
On April 10th, our father succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his family. Health took a turn for the worse on Thursday. 871 followers on X. Yeah, I don't see any mention of a clarification.
Here, I'm going to send it to you right now. It's on its way.
Anything specific about it you can tell us?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just came across it myself, and I thought it was, it says, O.J. Simpson's final tweet before dying. His family has since deleted it. And then it shows a picture of the tweet. Mm-hmm. And it says, I want you all to know I did that blank. So I don't, you know, I don't, people are saying that it's a fake tweet. And who knows?
Yeah, I doubt it was a fake tweet because it sounds like they had good control over the account because they deleted it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of an odd last tweet if you didn't do it, but
well, if you want the legend to continue, well, that certainly
that's that right. Will There's do an it. Unexplained mysteries show there,
even least, after, you know, his death.
Shatner can pick it up, right?
Exactly. All right, Dan. Anything else?
No. I just wanted to check in with you, and you know, I'd still love to come on and do a CT Politics TV show from the studio.
Someday. We can do that sometime. Let's talk about it.
Let's work it out.
All right.
Have a good day, my friend.
Thank you, Dan. 860-522-9842. O.J. Simpson, dead at last. A lot of people wanted him dead 30 years ago. What's your take on it all these years later? We've got Barbara and Avon. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
What's happening?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts behind what potentially happened, and I think that he and his son were the perps, and his son, who was the chef.
Wait, Ron Goldman was the chef, right? Is that who was the chef?
No, he was a waiter.
Oh, he was a waiter.
O.J.
That's right.
Simpson's father, I mean son.
Jason?
I don't remember. Is it Jason? He carried knives with him all the time. And Nicole was supposed to go with the whole family to Jason's restaurant that night. And instead they went to Mezzaluna. And Jason told everybody at the restaurant that, you know, they're coming. They're all coming. We're going to have a big dinner. And it was a big deal. And then she didn't show up.
Interesting.
The fact that the Bruno Mali shoes, the imprints of the shoes, were on the walkway outside her place with in blood stained. Mm-hmm. And he said he didn't have Bruno Mali shoes. And there was a picture of him in the LA Times with a pair of Bruno Mali shoes on.
Yeah, it's not like PF flyers where you can get confused with other people, you know? Bruno Mali shoes were pretty pricey things, as I recall.
I mean, I didn't know anything about him except, you know, hearing about that
No, that's how pricey he was. It was like, that's if you've got money to burn and you live in L.A., you go down to Hollywood and you buy yourself a pair of those things.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if you're a fancy dude, you shouldn't be wearing regular old sneakers, you know?
Well, maybe you should. It depends on...
You're a pretty fancy guy.
It depends on who you want to fool about how important you are.
But I have another...
Okay.
I was very fortunate in being able to, in between working, watch a lot of the trial, and which was better than any movie I've ever seen.
Oh, it was an amazing drama.
I mean, just incredible. So there were 10 jurors, and I believe 9 of them were black females.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't find him guilty if they saw him machine gun 20 people down in the street.
Do you think because he was so famous and he was such a celeb?
Because he was the most phenomenal athlete in the world, and women were very angry he married a white girl.
Yeah, so there were a lot of dynamics
going
on.
The whole thing goes down. The whole trial, to me, just went down to race. And it was I think that if they couldn't have found him guilty and gone back to their homes,
they would have become shunned.
More than that.
Yeah.
He was such a phenomenally famous person. And
it's so interesting,
it's
though,
talent.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I was out in L.A. visiting my daughter, and we went to the home, and I have pictures of the – you can't get in behind – there's a fencing.
Wait, I can't believe we haven't mentioned him. Who's the guy who lived in back taking care of the pool? The blonde guy.
Yeah. He heard O.J. jump over the fence, and that's where he dropped his glove outside on the air conditioner unit outside Cato Kalin's place.
Cato!
Yeah, Cato. Who's
Cato.
A nice guy?
See, that blows up Roland's theory. Roland was saying he didn't, O.J. didn't do it, but Cato said he jumped over the fence. Come on, man! Thank you for that call. That's great. Let's go to Steve in Coventry. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd. I'm hopefully not late to the discussion, but yeah, it was Cato Kalin. But, you know, over the years, I've read a few articles, and basically the decision on the jury was a foregone conclusion before the trial even started. From what I read, it went back
to Roger King.
You mean
in terms of who they were and what they felt about the thing?
Yeah, I think he was innocent going into it, because this, from what I read, went back to Rodney King. So when you go back to Rodney King, you have officer...
They were making up for that, in other words.
Lawrence Powell and Sergeant Stacy Kuhn, they did only 30 months in prison, and Timothy Wynn and Theodore Brezno or something, they were all acquitted of their charges, although the LAPD dismissed them shortly after that. I think Rodney King got $3.8 million in that. But from what I heard, that was payback for them not sentencing
those
LA cops.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there's enough information out to where we pretty much all probably figure he did it.
But, of course, we could be wrong. They could have tricked us, right?
Yeah. I mean, as a young guy going into that, I was like, he was a childhood hero. So it really, you know, I was biased on that. But now as a grown man, it seems like he did it anyhow.
It's hard to imagine he didn't.
Right. Yeah.
Just in
terms
of the
cut on his.
Sorry, go ahead.
What's that? Even the cut on his hand. You know, he said.
Oh, that's
right.
He was on the airplane that night, and he had his hand covered up or something.
Yeah, he had a cut on his hand, and he said that when he was in his hotel in Chicago or wherever he went,
right.
That's when he found out, and he smashed the glass out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
But they felt it was when he basically almost decapitated her. He cut his finger with the knife.
Yeah.
So. unfortunate. But and that was almost my that almost cost me a divorce, that trial, because it just drew you in.
Oh, you mean because you were so engaged by watching it?
Oh yeah, my wife wanted to do everyday stuff, and I had the ability to watch it. And
wow, imagine if OJ had killed your marriage too.
Oh yeah,
that would have been something. Thank you, Steve. We got Craig next on WTIC. Hi. Yes, Craig.
Oh, good. I'm on.
You are.
This might be a little bit off topic, but not to me. I had been doing some work at the facility that the state of Connecticut had just built for Henry Lee, Dr. Henry Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the building doing some work and doing some touch-up and checklist kind of things. And I was working in the cafeteria. And Dr. Henry Lee comes up to me and says, we're going to be having a guest speaker for lunch. And you are more than happy to have lunch with us and listen to the guest speaker. And then these kids start walking in. And by kids, they obviously work there, but there was not one that was over 30. And one of them mentioned Barry Scheck. So I heard that, and I immediately ran out to my car, grabbed my tape recorder, little tape recorder, put it in my shirt, and went back in. And sure enough, here comes Barry Scheck. And they had ordered six Pepe's pizzas to have there. And Barry Scheck made a whole big thing about how New Haven has the best pizza around the country. And then, so he had a slice. And then he got into his speech to all the young people that were there. And his speech was about how forensic experts should testify in a court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really interesting. And then when it was all done and everybody was leaving, Dr. Henry Lee came back over to me and he said, how did you enjoy that? He was such a nice guy. And I said, this one, I was not expecting this. And he actually walked me around because it was the shape of the building was like a horseshoe, and he walked me by every one of the rooms where one person would be doing some type of, whether they had a microscope.
They were doing some kind of lab work.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, then once I was going around with him, he handed me a mug, and on the mug was a bunch of blood splatters. And I thought that was so cool. So I immediately took the mug and drove to my parents' house and gave it to my dad. But that was so interesting listening to Barry Scheck and Dr. Henry Lee. These guys knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, given the troubles that Henry Lee had in Connecticut. As
that is correct.
Working at the University of New Haven.
Yeah,
I believe.
Because they, as far as I'm concerned, because I think they built the building at University of New Haven. I believe they built that building for him also.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Henry Lee College of Criminal Justice, isn't it?
It was, but. I still go back to Hella Crafts, when he broke that case.
I'm sorry, we can't go further because we're out of time on that. Thank you, Craig. 860-522-9842, because we're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Check in on what's happening with the ride home with Ian.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Show, don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
O.J. Simpson, we hardly knew you. Len's calling from South Windsor. Hi, Len.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, a little bit on the O.J. thing. I've always been under listening to the trial and listening to the background. I think that O.J. knew that something was going to happen to her. She was known to use drugs, cocaine specifically, and I understand that she had a pretty outstanding bill. And I think O.J. got the call. And that they showed up at her place of her residence, probably with the intention of roughing her up. And this may have been a drug thing that went down bad, because Goldman, he became an unintended victim, which was really sad. So that's the way I think this went down. And when the prosecution, they went
out. Why would her being on cocaine mean anything in an era where those people did cocaine like it was drinking water?
The bill.
Well, why would the bill matter? They were rich people.
Well, she wasn't paying her bill.
But her bill was his bill.
Well, maybe he said, I'm not paying the bill.
And how much could the bill have been? How much would she have spent?
I heard $30,000.
$30,000?
Yeah, over $30,000 at that time.
She could have sold one of her cars or something.
Well, some people, when they're strung out like that, they don't pay attention. And, you know, you can't. You know, you may ignore the bill collector from AT&T or from Eversource, but you're not going to ignore the bill that comes from the drug dealer, because their collection agency is pretty tough, worse than the IRS.
Yes, but it's a drug dealer. If they've got their claws into O.J. Simpson's family, you'd think they'd be pretty delighted with that, and they would shift to another mode besides let's just go cut her head off. And
maybe these guys just wanted to make an example. It may have been the case where maybe they didn't want to kill her, but what happened when Goldman showed up, it became a different situation. And from the reports, the amount of blood that was at the site was enormous. It was all over the place.
Mm. And which suggests not a professional killing.
It went awry. And he took off there a few days and said, well, he cleaned himself up. One of the hardest things to get rid of is blood and hair follicles. It's almost impossible. So they would have detected some blood on him if he had committed the killings. But I think he knew about it. I think he knew who did it, and I think maybe the son even knew too. But that's my summation.
Interesting.
May or may not be true. Well, if you owe your drug dealer some bills, you better be paying them. That's the lesson to be learned.
Len, thank you for sharing that theory. 860-522-9842. You can tell I'm resistant to any new theory. This was settled so long ago in my mind. Come on, man. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to somebody who's an expert on the federal debt. This is because of John, who's called the rant line several times talking about the federal debt and how much is it really. So we're going to find out on that.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
All right, all right. We have a guest scheduled who I'm hoping will be available momentarily because she's scheduled for now, and we haven't been able to find her as of yet. But the purpose of having her here is to focus on the federal debt to resolve the issue with John, who has been questioning me on my claiming that there, when I've read in response to John, I've done a little research to find out what's going on with the federal debt, $34 trillion federal debt. And John's stated very matter-of-factly and maybe accurately that it's if you that number doesn't include the social programs like Medicare and Social Security. And Social Security could have, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars all by itself in liabilities. And so the more I look into it now, the less sure I get of the information, because the information is vague and not very detailed that I've been able to find online. So we're trying to get Veronique DeRouge to come on. She's somebody from the Mercatus Center who we've had on a few times. And she's an expert on federal debt, apparently. So we will do that if we can raise her. And we are attempting to do that still. So that's the latest. We've been talking about O.J. Simpson. And if you have anything else you want to say about O.J., we can do that. And what else? We have rants coming up in about 25 minutes. And the rant line number, 860-751-4698. And the guest on Thursday evenings at 5:40 is Reese on the Radio. You can find him at reeseontheradio.com. So we've got a lot to do still in this very interesting radio program on the day that O.J. died. On the day the O.J. died, I have a cut I wanted to play for you. This is Speaker McCarthy, no longer Speaker McCarthy, talking about why he lost his job as Speaker. Is that what's going on? Is that Veronique? Ah, good, we got her. All right, forget about that sound bite we were just going to play. And let's talk federal debt with Veronique DeRouge, who is at the Mercatus Center. Veronique, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I forget what your, are you an economist or what's your background?
Yeah, I'm an economist.
Good. Yep. Good. Cause so the controversy we have going here is that I've been reading for a long time that the total debt, the total federal debt is $34 trillion. And, mm-hmm. and I've read several different places that that includes liabilities for social programs. And I've had a caller, a very wise older man who served in the Vietnam War and is very old school and matter of fact about things. And he keeps suggesting that I'm wrong and that that those are separate line items. And I finally saw something that said that the federal debt is only specific debt that we've taken loans out against. That is, that it could be that he's correct that the social programs, because they have forward-looking liabilities on, that would appear on a spreadsheet but wouldn't be part of the federal debt because they're not currently borrowed against, because it's not until we have to give the money to somebody that it's a problem. Can you illuminate on that, Annie?
Yeah, so I guess you're both right in a sense. So the $34 trillion of debt that we have right now is made of two parts. One part is that the money we owe to the public, and for spending we've done where we didn't have money, mm-hmm. and that's roughly like 26, 28 maybe trillion dollars, and then there's the intragovernmental debt, and that's like basically debt that the federal government owes to other programs, and the biggest chunk of that is Social Security, but that basically is like money that the program has collected in taxes above what it needed to pay a given year mm-hmm. for benefits, and then it gave it to the federal government. The government gave the Social Security program an IOU, and then mm-hmm. it spent the money, right? So this is money that's going to be borrowed part of it, that the last $5 trillion is going to have to be borrowed when Social Security comes and say, you know what, payroll tax right now are not enough since 2010 to pay for all the benefits. I need to use some of my IOUs to pay for the difference in benefits. So in a sense, that $34 trillion, like you said, it includes debt that we will owe to the Social Security program. We're going to have to transfer in a way. We're going to, when we take those IOUs, we're going to start borrowing from the public. So we're exchanging, you know, like debt that we owe to Social Security into debt that we owe to the public. Right. So in a sense,
yes. And that's listed. Right. That's listed as part of the $34 trillion, because it is, because the government has borrowed that money from the slush fund, for the social programs.
But so going forward, though, starting in 2033, where all the IOUs that the program has, they're all going to be gone. And so if Congress doesn't do anything, doesn't fix what happens by law, is the program benefits are going to be cut across the board by roughly somewhere between 20% and 25%.
When is that?
So if Congress doesn't do anything on once there's no more IOUs in the
Correct.
Social
yep.
Security Trust Fund,
yep.
what's happened is going to be that benefits by law have to be cut, and the program is going to have to revert to a pay-as-you-go program, which means you can only pay benefits with the money that you raise through the payroll tax that year.
Uh-huh.
So this is how they estimate that benefits could be cut as much as 25%, right? But very likely what's going to happen is that,
there would be panic.
Yeah, they're going to, I assume, because they're very irresponsible, instead of actually saying and thinking about reforms, how are mm-hmm. we going to reform the program? And you could do it by raising taxes.
Yes, they'll wait till midnight the day before that happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but so what they're going to do is, like, they're just going to say, well, you know what? We're going to change the law, make the benefits, keep the benefits the way they were, and we're going to borrow the money from the public from now on to fill that gap. Right, to feel the difference between what we raise in payroll tax and what we have to pay in benefits. And this is why, basically, when you do this with Social Security and Medicare, the projection for the 30 years of what we're going to have to borrow mm-hmm. is amounts to $116 trillion.
116. And that date again, where you said the you know what hits the fan is 2035. Is that what you said?
For Medicare, because Medicare also has a trust fund, it's a much smaller one, but it's 2031.
Mm-hmm.
And Social Security is 2033, I believe, or 2034 at most. But it depends, right? If we have a good year,
sure.
It depends on
tax flow and stuff.
Yes. So in a sense, it's like, if you want to just look at public debt, then you don't have that intergovernmental debt. But starting whenever both trust funds are empty, then there will be no more intergovernmental debt. It will all be public debt.
Right. But really, they won't be able to pay those few trillion dollars, even that the government's loaned to itself. It's just, it's a paper issue right now, but they'll be forced to borrow that at whatever point that cash is needed too.
Well, each time Social Security comes with an IOU and say, hey, the payroll tax this year wasn't enough to pay for all the benefits, which has been the case since 2010.
Okay.
And will be like this forever. The benefits are always bigger since 2010 than what we raise in with the payroll tax. Each time the Social Security comes with one of these IOUs, then Treasury has to borrow money to give the money to Social Security so that Social Security can pay all the benefits in full. But that will change. That will only happen as long as there are IOUs in the trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ends, as I said, by law, the benefits will be cut across the board unless Congress does something. And if they're, what would be important, it would be for them to talk about it right now, because it's not as if it's a mystery.
Fat
we
chance.
Know.
They hate to anticipate and fix problems before they become a crisis, because they really can only get things done when there's a crisis, right?
Yes, but I worry that this is actually such a big problem that requires actually a lot of decisions. Okay, if you're going to be cutting benefits, who are you cutting it for? Are you cutting it across the board? If you're raising taxes, are you really raising taxes? The payroll tax is extremely regressive, right? Because it applies the same rate to everyone, no matter what your income. So it's regressive. Like, there are a lot of decisions to make. And if you don't want to do something that's just crude, then it requires
it takes
a lot of work. It takes time. So if they do it really at the last minute, what they're going to do is they're going to say, you know what, we're going to keep benefits intact. Never mind that seniors are overrepresented in the top income quintile, which doesn't mean that there aren't some poor seniors who really depend on Social Security. But nonetheless, we're going to keep the benefits the way they are, and we're just going to borrow the money. And borrowing the money for Social Security and Medicare means like borrowing $116 trillion in the next 30 years. Think about that number. Put that number in perspective. In the entire history of the U.S., so far we've borrowed $34 trillion. We are about to embark, or at least we think we can embark, in borrowing four times more just for these two programs.
Okay, so really the essence of this is that John is correct. There is a huge other liability that isn't part of the of what we're told on a regular basis is the federal debt. The federal debt is expanded by $3 or $4 trillion a year to cover the cost, assuming you had like a 30-year note to pay this stuff off, and that's really problematic.
Yeah, but so far the debt is only what we've already spent,
right?
And so what's really worrisome is what's coming. And most of it, and most of what's coming in the expansion of the debt is for those two programs.
Yeah, it's FDR debt.
Payments. Interest payments actually are becoming one of the biggest programs in our
budget. Yeah, they're
a
problem too. Yeah. Okay, Veronique, I appreciate you helping us out with that. It is unfortunate that they don't give us a more honest number and be more clear about what the real financial liabilities are. It's sort of like, if you went to your banker to find out how the situation is with your personal debt, and he said, oh, you owe this on the car, but he doesn't mention the house. You know, it's...
The CBO and, I mean, they project how much money we're going to owe in the next 30 years. I mean, we know.
So what do they project it's going to, do they just give a total?
It's going to go to 180% of GDP instead from 100% of GDP where we are now. So that's roughly, and that's an additional, and when you go and look at the number, I think it was really for those two programs, it was like having to borrow another $116 trillion over 30 years for those two programs.
Pretty awful stuff. All right. Thank you so much for the help. Yeah. It's great to talk with you. Veronique DeRouget.
Thank you for having me.
We will talk to you again sometime soon. We'll take more calls after news. Right now we're going to get a traffic update, and we've got a lot to discuss. We've got rants coming your way. Rant line number 860-751-4698. Reese on the radio at 540. Somehow it got to be Thursday already. How is the commute? We'll check the roads now with Ian, who's in for Mark today in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.